and welcome back. We are live once again. My take on it with your angelic karma. It is Thursday night, January 19th. I'm pretty sure you all remember this oldie but goodie intro that I used to like play out. Now, welcome back. Those of you that want to join in with me on the chat, you are most definitely welcome to do so. We're talking about love and romance again tonight, and we're going over to the conversation on human behavior at Scientific American, for those of you that want to know where I'm getting a lot of the info from. Now, and we're going to talk about something that a lot of people may be tired of you all doing with your romantic partner. And it's the baby talk. A lot of people, they're like up to here with you all talking baby talk to your partners. Now, I don't know what baby talk is. I haven't read this article yet, but I kind of think I know. Even though it's been a while since I've been in a romantic relationship, it's been actually like 5 years. So I don't know what baby talk is, but I did make a podcast in the past about, I had my beloved dog. His name was Jack, and I came on the podcast and talked about the baby, what I considered baby talk that I would do to him. Now, he was a Great Dane Labrador mix. He was pure black. The only white he had on him was in the, like, where his third eye was. It was like a diamond shape right above the third eye, white. And then he was just black and shiny. And he would be sitting, I would be working, and he would be sitting against the wall with his back to the wall across from me. And he would be sitting up with just great posture, and he would come over to me sometimes, and I would be like, give me those cheeks, his jaws that were hanging out, and I would take my hand and like mess with his like cheeks like that. And I guess for me, that is baby talk. But I was doing it, I look at that as baby talk, because I was not talking the way an adult woman would. And I remember my ex-husband, and you all are like, you're Angela, come on, we're tired of you talking about your ex-husband. Now, well, that's the only, when I'm talking about romantic relationships, that's the only thing I can relate it to, because that's the last relationship that I was in. So I guess what he would be doing would be talking baby talk, like, to me, because his voice would be changing. He would be like, and I talked about this some years ago, he would be like, mi vida, mi amor, mi consentida, like that, mi trompi, te quiero, like, mi vida, my life. Mi amor, my love, te quiero, I love you, mi trompis, meaning because my lips like trompuda, like pushed out like lips, fluffy, puffy lips. And he would be speaking like that. So I guess that was baby talk. And that's what they mean by they're tired of you talking baby talk. And here you all talk baby talk to your partner. But I would never talk to him. I would never talk like that way to him, but that's the way that he would talk to me, like that. So, and I would be looking at him the way Jack used to be looking at me, like that. And he would do that all the time, but I would not talk that way to him. But I guess that's baby talk. Now, in mi consentida, my sport one, like that. That's what he would be saying, but in like that type of excited voice that I would be doing with Jack. Give me those cheeks, like that. That's how we do it. I guess it's that some people bring that out in you. And you know, but I never thought or felt that way to talk that way to a man like that. Now, so you all, what do you all do? You all was that baby talk that I'm describing, or somebody overly excited? Okay, so is with emotion. So is that baby talk, or am I missing the point of what baby talk is? And do you all use baby talk with your men? Now, we're going to go over to Scientific American, and it states, they've actually done a study on this, like that. Now, and I think it was study worthy, and it's on behavior. Why do couples use baby talk with one another? This style of speech helps infants learn, but romantic adults use it as a way to show affection. Now, and it says, the following essay is reprinted with permission from the Conversation, an online publication covering the latest research. Imagine you're strolling through a park and you overhear a middle-aged couple cooing over each other, doting over their widow's sugar plum and baby doll. I don't think I would be talking to a man like that. But my ex-husband would be stating what I just stated, like that, to me. Ooh, you may reflexively think. Baby talk is cute when grown-ups dote on babies, but when adults converse with each other, not so much. Yet, in my work as a communication sciences and disorders researcher, I've come across studies showing that as many as 2/3 of couples use romantic baby talk. It may sound strange and elicit cringes, but it's no disorder. Now, and I also noticed that my ex-husband and a boyfriend that I had before him, they would treat me like I was a baby, like that boyfriend before this ex-husband, he would call me Mija, and I will tell you all about that in some podcast some years ago. It's like my daughter, like that, like Mija. I don't know what they were seeing when they were looking at me that made them like be like that, but that's what he would say. So I guess that would be similar to baby talk, or am I missing the point? Like that. Now, but I never felt like with him either telling him my little sugar plum or anything like that. So first, it's important to understand what exactly I mean by baby talk. That's where I'm missing the point, I think. Now, it's not how babies talk to one another. It's the exaggerated pitch, tempo, and intonation that parents use when talking to their little ones. What linguists call motherous or parenthous. Okay, now, that's what they, the pitch and the tempo of my ex-husband, just like the pitch and the tempo with me with Jack, like that. And then the boyfriend would just call me Mija, like he was calling that as my name, like that. Just like this ex-husband never called me Melissa. He would just call me Mia Moore. And the boyfriend before that, mi corazón, my heart, or Mija. Then that was my name. No matter where we were, what we were doing, they never said Melissa, like that. So is, and when that boyfriend never used that type of talk that my ex-husband did. My ex-husband would talk like that to me a lot, like that. So according to speech and hearing experts, Patricia Cull, this special style of speaking facilitates social interactions with babies, helping them learn how to communicate. And it isn't a phenomenon just in English. Speakers in every culture and every language will change their pitch and exaggerate their intonation when communicating with babies. And I would do that with Jack, like that. And with a lot of different animals that I would see. Now, but with grown men, no, but the grown men would do it with me, like that. So research has shown that this style of speaking actually triggers the release of neurotransmitters that motivate infants to learn. However, in the case of romance, this style of speech is less about learning and more about affection. Now, according to the affection exchange theory, which was proposed by the communication researcher Corey Floyd, specific vocal behavior signal affection. This includes the use of high-pitched, exaggerated intonation and a soft voice, traits that just so happen to overlap with the way most people talk to babies. But there's another side to the phenomenon, the formation of a special linguistic landscape that's walled off from the rest of the world, a space for couples to express themselves that's free from the complexities and customs of routine adult conversations. Now, so what they're stating is, the research is stating that it's romantic couples' way is like their own private language with one another, like that. So it is their way of showing affection. So the women are also talking to men like this. Now, the use of idiocentric or personalized communication is an important aspect of close friendships and romantic relationships. Now, my ex-husband, he would want me to, he would like, I talked about this in some podcasts, he would like be Kenneth Sumacho and want me to answer. That's like, who is your macho? Like, who is your masculine. And he would want me to say, you are like that. So that's the type of dialogue we would have. We could be in a group of people, friends at parties when I lived in his country for 9 years, or we could be in the house, just us two. So I guess he was wanting that type of confirmation. I guess that was our baby talk like that. So is strange relationships. A bystander listening in might be flummoxed, but to the couple, it's a sign of their bond, a boundary that sets them apart from everyone else. Pet names like Sweetie Pie and Nugget are part of this, and they've been shown to signal greater relationship satisfaction among couples. Yeah, with pet names, I guess that Mija would have been pet name. Trumpies, Trumpuda is what my ex-husband called me, because their pet name would correspond with something about your physicality. And he would call me like Trumpuda and Trumpies is like for the shape of the lips, like that. So is in things like that, speckers, because I have freckles. But he and his family members was used to call me that. That was my pet name. So it would be in a chapada is short one, short girl. Those are pet names. El Morcito is my little Moor, like that. Mi Vida is my life. Those were the pet names, like that. So for my ex-husband towards me, with their boyfriend before that, it was just Mija, like that, and Mi Corazón, my heart. And that was like your name, like your name, how they'll be calling you your name, is just like, come here, and there's the name they'll use. So I guess pet names are different. So is, I guess, pet names are most different, definitely different. And then Sweetie Pie and Nugget. Are a part of this, this person states. And they've been shown to signal greater relationship satisfaction among couples. I think I made a podcast some years ago also. It may have been as early as last year about the pet name being Baby or Babe or something like that. And it being common and people liking those pet names. And I was talking about it versus a pet name that is specific for your own partner. And it's relating to maybe them, that person, as opposed to generic as Baby. And you were your ex's baby. And everybody in the store is somebody's baby. And when they say Baby, you turn around because you think you're the baby they're talking about. As opposed to pet names that goes along with your baby, along with your person, and a pet name that is special to them. I think I did a podcast on that. I'm pretty sure that I did. So while adults literally going gaga for each other might sound peculiar, it's a hallmark of humanity. Now, the article was originally published on The Conversation. Read the original article. Now, so that's the article. And we're going to go over here to the word on the street. And somebody else talking about pet names. And she states, my boyfriend uses baby voice. So I'm still confused, and I haven't read what she's going to state either. So the boyfriend uses baby voice. So am I talking about the same thing with the voice that I would use with Jack? Give me those cheeks. Even though I felt very happy and it was a sign of affection, and the voice that my ex-husband used to use with me and the boyfriend, I guess it would be, they didn't sound like babies, but they were, I felt that I was supposed to be the baby. They looked at me as their baby. So is that baby talk? Now, so first post she states, I'll try and make this short and to the point. My boyfriend, he's a 30-year-old male and I'm a 25-year-old female, treats me very well and takes care of me. He's handsome and fit. We have been dating for almost 6 years and he's been doing things that have made me feel less attracted to him. And the thing with me, with the way that mine treated me is that I think that I've been over baby. You know, I even talked about in past podcasts how I had a mother. I left my small town in Georgia when I was 28. She would bring me coffee in bed. I was a grown woman. So it's like, sometimes you could be like babied out like that. So I don't know what people are seeing in you where they would want to call you a baby and get your cheeks also like that, the way that I saw with Jack, and he was so cute like that. So now, but he was huge. So she states that We have been dating for almost 6 years, and he's been doing things that have made me feel less attracted to him. But remember, she states he takes very good care of her, and he's handsome and fit. But he's been doing things. They've been in a relationship for 6 years, so that's most definitely a relationship. But he's been doing things that has made her feel less attracted to him. For example, he'll use a baby voice when he has done something wrong or wants to ask a favor. Okay, so this is a different type of baby voice. So he's using a baby voice when he's done something wrong. Like, is he saying, "Mama, I'm sorry," like that? Or is he like, and when he wants to ask a favor, like, is he saying, like, ask a favor? What kind of favor would a man be asking? Babe or babe is how they say it. Babe, and talk a baby talk. Babe, can you, like, can I have another piece of cake? Like that? Like, what the hell is she talking? I don't get it with the baby voice thing. So, for example, he'll use a baby voice when he has done something wrong or wants to ask a favor. Imagine a 30-year-old man speaking like a 5-year-old who's asking for a scoop of ice cream. He'll use a high, that's what I was saying, a piece of cake. That's what the only thing that came to my, like, baby voice to ask him, what type of favor would he be asking for? Or, babe, can I spend another hour with the guys? That type of baby voice? Like, I would be turned off too. Now, he'll use a high-pitched voice in everything, she states. He also sits and lays like a girl, knees bent up to the chest, and is always pointing his toes like a ballerina. It just really turns me off. Okay, so he's pointing his toes like a ballerina, and okay, and he bends his knees up to, oh, I know what you're talking about. I do that. And I'll sit in the bed, what we would call with my legs crossed, like in the middle of the bed, you know, with my planners and things that I'm doing. Sometimes I'll sit in the bed painting and doing things like that that I enjoy doing with my legs crossed. And sometimes I know what you mean by the knees bent to the chest also. And also he'll point his toes like a ballerina. And it really turns me off, she states. I guess there's nothing wrong with what he's doing, because some women may like him pointing his toes like a ballerina, and may like his knees bent up to the chest, and may like him using a baby voice when he's asking for favors, and is high-pitched, and may like him using a baby voice when he's done something wrong. So I guess some women may like that. That's maybe what they're looking for in a man. You know, and it could be where you just have to, but it's turning you off, so I don't know. I've told him all of this, and he's making efforts to stop. We don't have sex often anymore because I just see him being girly and not masculine anymore. It just turns me off thinking about sex and remembering that godforsaken baby voice he uses all the time. So when you're getting ready to have sex with him, that baby voice comes into your mind and it turns you off. Okay, I told him I think he's girly and he's hurt about it. What should I do? How can I forget this and see him as the sexy, fit, manly guy I first met? Well, okay, anybody that's having this issue, my suggestion is that you could always remember in the back of your mind, his behavior may turn women on, some women. I wouldn't be the woman either, but his behavior may turn some women on sexually. So I guess that would be it, you know. And I guess you look at that behavior as feminine, okay, because it's usually characteristic of what women would be doing. But it could be he is a man that has that behavior, and there are women that turn them on sexually, and they're looking for that in a man. You can keep that in mind, that everybody isn't for everybody. And if it's turning you off sexually and it's making you not even have sex with him, it's about you accepting that. Because if that's a part of how his behavior is, and then you're saying, well, that's girly, it may be best that you may understand that this isn't the type of man for you, no matter how you're labeling the behavior, because it's causing you not even want to have sex with him. And it doesn't mean that somebody that's in this situation will be forced to be in a relationship with that person if that's turning them off. It means that it could be you're incompatible because that's turning you off sexually. Unless you want to stay in a relationship for other reasons and sex be excluded from it and you be turned off from him and stay in it based on whatever else he's doing for you. And you may have to get your sex elsewhere, or just you may have been in a sexless relationship. Okay, that's my take on it. Bye.